the Indomitable, remembers with guilt the young sailor Billy Budd, who was hanged under his command. With Benjamin Britten conducting the London Symphony and Peter Pierce as Captain Vere. It's 5.5 minutes after the hour. You're in the Opera Box at KGNU with Ron Nadell, and I've got a playlist highlighting the unique Peter Pierce. Pierce was born in Surrey to an Anglican and Quaker family, and he lived from 1910 to 1986. In prep school, he showed great talent in singing lead roles in Gilbert and Sullivan. He was also an excellent cricketer, and he considered entering the priesthood. But as he grew up, he became increasingly aware of his own homosexuality. He studied music at Oxford with no clear career choice, but he disliked the culture there. So he took a part-time job teaching at his old prep school, and then he entered the Royal College of Music as a part-time student in 1934. And while there, he appeared in the operas of Mozart and Puccini under the great Sir Thomas Beecham. Then he auditioned for the BBC Singers Ensemble in 1937, and he had his first solo part in a choral recording. And it was about that time that he met the student composer Benjamin Britten through a mutual friend. Well, when that friend died, Pierce and Britten were reacquainted. It was then they became romantically involved, remaining so until Britten's death in 1976. They traveled to America in 1939, and Britten composed his first music for Pierce there. After war broke out, against advice, they made the dangerous voyage back home, and it was about that time that Britten conceived of an opera based on a story by George Crabbe that Pierce had given him about an ill-tempered, ill-fated fisherman, Peter Grimes. A complex, tormented character, a misfit, not a villain, but not a hero. The lead part was written for Pierce's voice, and the opera premiered in 1945. Some musicians disliked Britten's style, and homophobic innuendo surfaced. But it was an immense critical success, establishing them both as major talents. And it's not just hyperbole to say that no one has ever equaled Pierce in the role of the fisherman Peter Grimes. The evolution of the character in the opera is a demonstration of Pierce's unique voice and great acting. I've got three excerpts from the opera to illustrate this. In the prologue of Act One, an inquest was held on the death of Peter Grimes' apprentice. Their boat had been blown off course, and they ran out of food and water. It was determined that the boy died in accidental circumstances, but the narrow-minded townspeople disliked Grimes, and they gossip he murdered the boy. In this aria from Act One, Grimes is in the local pub to escape a heavy storm outside. Sitting alone, he feels that fate, represented by the motion of stars, is against him.
like a flash in turmoil, all the shoal of heavy.
In Act Two, Grimes has acquired a new apprentice, and he's more determined than ever, driving himself and the young apprentice hard, fishing every day and every night to be able to show up the townspeople and leave the borough. Impatiently, he shoves the boy apprentice into his hut to prepare to sail. The boy falls and begins to cry. Grimes softens for a moment. His forceful ambition returns, but he recognizes his own lack of kindness, and he tries to explain himself. He's tormented again by memories of the dead apprentice. Chance to get a good catch, get money to choke our rumor's throat. I will set up with house and home and shop. I'll marry Ellen. I'll marry Ellen. Coat off. Thank you.
What dreaming
can disown? Dead fingers stretch themselves to tear it down. I hear those voices that will not be drowned, calling there is no stone in a thickness to make a home that you can build with and remain
scurried down the cliffside from the hut to the beach. The boy slipped and fell to his death. Peter took the body and disappeared with his boat. So in Act 3, Grimes hasn't been seen for days, and it's rumored he's killed his new apprentice. One night, with the town posse searching for him, Grimes comes ashore, now deranged.
Deep water, where's my home?
first one died, just died. The other slipped and died. And the third will.
Accidental circumstances.
Water will drink his soul. My sorrows dry, and the tide will turn.
Hurry, 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 hurry. Now is gone simple to toil. Bring the branding on and knife. For what's done now is done for life. Come on, lend me. Joel has gone fishing, and young Joel has gone fishing, and you'll know's gone fishing when you land the next show.
Ellen, Ellen, give me your hand, your hand.
Take away your hand. The argument's finished. Friendship lost. Gossip is shouting. Everything said. To a hell for your mercy. To a hell your revenge. And God have mercy upon you.
Shout out my name. Do you hear them? Do you hear them?
Peter Grove!
Oh, Davy John, shall I come home? Come home! Come home! Come home!
Peter Grove!
Peter Grove! Peter Grove! Peter Grove! Peter Grove! Peter Grove! Peter Grove! Peter Grove! Peter Grove! Peter
illustrate the unique vocal and immersive acting abilities of Peter Pears with Benjamin Britten conducting the Royal Opera Orchestra. That's perhaps Britten's greatest opera and one of the greatest operas of the 20th century. It's 25 and a half minutes after the hour. You're in the Opera Box at KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with a program highlighting the unique British tenor, Peter Pears. Britten's next opera, The Rape of Lucretia, was written as a chamber opera for the Glyndebourne Opera so it could be taken on tour with much smaller forces. But the tour was mismanaged and a financial disaster. Britten, Pears, and some friends thus formed their own English opera group. Britten planned their next collaboration for the group, which would be a comedy, with Piers again in the title role, one of his only comic characters. The plot concerns a May Day celebration, but it's hampered by the fact that there are essentially no young women worthy of being May Queen. So they decide to have a May King. As Albert Herring is the most naive, virginal young man in town, he is chosen. And in this scene from Act Two, Albert toasts to Lady Billows, a patron of the celebration, and he finds he likes alcohol. And as his inhibitions evaporate, he senses his own naivete, realizing he's a mama's boy. He decides to find out all that he's been missing.
What a party! Talk of eating heart! Dish after dish, they brought us.
eggs, different flavor, chilies, custards, chocolate dates, fruit and a trifle. And they gave us pastries, freshly made with cream in, from above and famous. But oh, the taste of that lemonade, wonder how it was made. Nancy will know. Pretty name, Nancy. Pretty name. Why did she stare each time I looked up at her? Why was she
The Mama's Boy, Albert Herring, under the influence of alcohol, begins to cut loose. Albert the Good. From Britain's 1947 opera, Albert Herring, with Peter Pears in the title role and Benjamin Britten conducting the English Chamber Opera. With the success of Albert Herring and the English Opera Group, Pears suggested that they form an annual music festival in the seaside town of Aldeburgh, which was where Pears and Britten were living, and their first season was in 1948. The festival became a major success and a popular annual event. Britten composed more operas for Pears, as well as concert songs and arias, and they became known to British TV audiences through a series of TV recitals, and a full performance of Billy Budd was performed on BBC TV. Now, while it's true that almost all of Pears' opera roles were by Britten, he was popular in the oratorios of many composers such as Bach, Tippett, and Mahler, and he even performed in the operas of William Walton, Verdi, Rossini, Smetana, and even as David in Wagner's Meistersinger, and in the art songs like those of Robert Schumann. Now here is Peter Pears singing Don Ottavio's aria from Mozart's Don Giovanni, which he first sang in college. Young Don Ottavio assures his fiancée, Donna Anna, that he will avenge her father, with Benjamin Britten at the keyboard.
Andate, andate.
Il mio tesoro, the Don Ottavio's aria from Mozart's Don Giovanni, with Peter Pears and Benjamin Britten at the keyboard. Another non-Britten role that Pears recorded was the Emperor in Puccini's Turandot, which he first performed in college, and it was one of his last recordings opposite Pavarotti, where the Emperor of China tries to dissuade the young stranger Calaf from pursuing the riddles of the icy Princess Turandot. No man has survived them.
Figlio del cielo, io chiedo.
Peter Pears in the role of the Emperor in Puccini's Turandot, with Zubin Mehta conducting the London Philharmonic. Well, for most of his career, Pears performed and recorded the music of Britain, and much of Britain's choral and vocal music was composed specifically and perfectly for Pears' voice. Peter Grimes, Billy Budd, Albert Herring, the Earl of Essex, Peter Quint, Captain Vere, Lysander, Philip Wingrave, and Gustav von Eschenbach. So matched was the voice and music that few other tenors are suited for these roles. It was said that Britten would have been a famous composer without Pears, but Pears probably would not have been as famous without Britten. Britten died of heart failure in 1976. The two had been together 37 years. And for 28 of those years, their relationship was illegal. Pears died of heart attack in 1986, living in the home that he and Britten had shared. The last role Britten composed for Pears was the aging novelist Eschenbach in Death in Venice, from the novelette by Thomas Mann, based on his own experience. The plot revolves around Eschenbach's erotic feelings for a lad that he sees while in Venice. Britten's opera premiered in 1973, with Pears at 63 in the lead role. Britten wasn't strong enough to conduct it, nor the recording that was later made of it. And I'm going to conclude tonight's program with two excerpts from Death in Venice. In Act One, the aging novelist Eschenbach is bemoaning his lack of inspiration. As he walks by a cemetery, he notices a visitor there whom he presumes is a foreigner. He suddenly feels the need to travel south to Italy to find fresh inspiration. Then, in Act Two, he sees the youth, which is an unspoken, danced role, on the beach. Eschenbach follows him from a distance, and after buying some strawberries, which he notices are overripe, he returns to the beach, weary. He recalls Plato's dialogue between Socrates and the boy Phaedra, which muses on the fraught relationship between artist and subject. From Death in Venice.
Routine, the order of my days. servant of my will.
I suspect the easy judgment of the heart. The passion itself has left me every light infested as choice. My mind beats on.
It is here, the silent graveyard. And the silent dead. Yes, from the black rectangular hole in the ground. Light everlasting, would that the light of inspiration had not left.
Who's that? A foreigner? A traveler, no doubt.
Huge birds stand hunched and sudden predatory keep the crouching tiger's eyes.
What is this urge that fills my tired heart? This urge that fills my tired heart, my tired heart. A thirst, a leaping wild unrest, a deep desire. No boundaries hold you. Go travel to the south. Great poets, before you have listened to me,
gone, he's gone, as suddenly as he came, the traveller from beyond the Alps. Chaos, chaos and sickness. To the abyss.
Peter Pears as the aging novelist Eschenbach from Death in Venice, with John Shirley Quirk as the traveler. Stuart Bedford conducted the English Chamber Orchestra. Well, this is your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you all for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed tonight's program, tribute to the unique tenor, Peter Pears. Stay tuned for A Classic Monday with Gary McBride.
This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Up next, A Classic Monday.
Thinking about turning your garage into something more? Like maybe a game room or a home gym? Make room for your dreams by getting rid of the biggest obstacle in your way, that unwanted vehicle. We'll have it picked up at no cost to you and use the proceeds to support KGNU. Call 1-844-KGNU-CAR or learn more at kgnu.org.
Support comes from VIA Mobility Services, a community transit provider. VIA is a nonprofit offering transportation and mobility options for older adults and people with disabilities. VIA gives people an option to be mobile. Services are now expanding into the Denver area. More information at viacolorado.org.
Good evening and welcome to A Classic Monday. My name's Gary McBride and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Tonight, a special treat. I'll be talking with the music director of the Colorado Music Festival, Maestro Peter Ungen. The CMF kicks off its 2022 summer season this Thursday in Boulder, Colorado. All concerts will be at the historic Chautauqua Auditorium, right at the foot of Boulder's famous Flatirons. It's a magical setting. The season will go for 6 weeks, from June 30th to August 7. All orchestral concerts are on Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays, with the Robert Mann Chamber Music Series on Tuesdays. This year's composer-in-residence is the world-famous John Adams, and Thursday's opening concert features a piece Adams wrote back in 2012 for string quartet and orchestra called Absolute Jest. Before I speak with Peter Ungen, I thought we'd start by sampling the presto movement of Absolute Jest by CMF composer-in-residence John Adams.